I have had so many women come to me and just be feeling so overwhelmed and sick of feeling like crap. And like half of their life, half of their cycle, they're just feeling like out of control with their moods. They're bloated, they're exhausted, they can't sleep. And they've basically just been told that you have to just live with it. That's just how it is, whether it's PMS or it's perimenopause. But I'm here to tell you that just because it's common, or just because your mom or your sister had these issues, or that all your friends have it and it's just super common, doesn't mean that you have to suffer. I want you to know that you have options. Oftentimes, the first thing we'll do will be to go to the doctor and ask for some testing. And they'll either tell you that your results are normal, or they will offer you either birth control or sometimes even surgery, like a full hysterectomy, to deal with your hormonal symptoms, which is completely ridiculous because there is so much that we can do from a diet and supplement and lifestyle perspective to manage your hormones. So this episode is really here to empower you to take control of your hormones, and don't let anyone tell you that you either have to live with it or that you have to resort to drugs or surgery. What you do in your younger years will dictate how smooth or how rough of a transition that you will have both into perimenopause and then when you transition into menopause. So what you do now in terms of diet and exercise and stress management, this is all going to have an impact and dictate whether you have a smooth or a rocky transition. So I'm here to give you some actionable tips today to make it a smooth transition that you do not have to dread. You don't need to be doing something like keto or CrossFit or very intense exercise in order to start losing some weight. It all starts with fixing these underlying imbalances, right? So I'm empowering you with the knowledge you need about your body to understand what's going on, and then build some simple, healthy habits that will allow you to start losing weight more easily. Hi there, I'm Holly Braddock, registered nutritionist. Listen up, all you mamas, hustlers, and go-getters. You've ignored your needs for so long, and now your body is crying for help. It's time to get your confidence and your life back. Sit back while I break down the latest in gut and metabolism research into easy-to-digest, actionable strategies that move the needle on your health. It's not all in your head, and it's never too late to heal. Discover the truth about your gut, hormones, and metabolism, and the fact that it's all connected. It's time to rise up and take control of your health because you deserve it. Welcome to the Mindful Vitality Podcast. And let's start maybe with younger age women. So women with PMS and hormone imbalances that are causing PMS become women with more severe perimenopause symptoms like weight gain and insulin resistance and insomnia and mood swings. And those women become women with more severe menopausal symptoms. So it always translates into the next phase, right? So what we can do now, though, no matter what stage you're at, is work to balance your hormones and your gut. And we're going to talk about how those two are connected. And in doing so, that sets you up for smoother transitions. So if right now you're in perimenopause, by doing the work now with your diet and exercise, supporting your liver and your gut and managing your stress, that's going to set you up for a very smooth transition into menopause. Start off talking about some of the common symptoms that you guys are probably dealing with. So let's talk about irregular periods, painful periods, extreme PMS, mood swings. Maybe you're having hot flashes that wake you up at night, or you're just having good old insomnia without the hot flashes, and weight gain, and then chronic fatigue as well. These are all hormone-related symptoms that are really common in perimenopause, and even for women that are not quite in perimenopause and are just struggling with severe PMS, it's also common. So before we dive into exactly what we can do to balance our hormones, I want to empower you with a bit of knowledge about, you know, how our body works, the purpose of these hormones, how they're made, and then really, like, how do we get these problems? Like, how do we develop these intense hormone imbalances? There's got to be a reason, right? So you deserve to know the truth about what's going on with your body. Okay, so the first thing is we need estrogen and progesterone in the proper ratios to keep everything moving properly. And one of the first things to change in perimenopause is you get a decline in progesterone. So before I go into that anymore, I'll just tell you basically what each of these hormones do. So estrogen is a kind of anabolic hormone that builds and thickens your uterine lining and stimulates, like in puberty, it stimulates your sex characteristic development. And then it's more of an inflammatory, like stimulating type hormone, whereas progesterone should counterbalance it. And it's more of an anti-anxiety, calming, anti-inflammatory type hormone. And ideally, we have this ratio where it's 10 to 1, so 10 times as much estrogen as progesterone. But the problem occurs when we develop either high estrogen and have normal progesterone, or we have normal estrogen and very low progesterone. So let's first look at why we develop this situation. This is called estrogen dominance, and it's extremely common in younger women, as well as perimenopausal women. So there's a number of things that kind of create this perfect storm that contribute to estrogen dominance. And again, the estrogen dominance will be causing things like extreme PMS, mood swings, weight gain, all of that. So as I said, when you start transitioning into perimenopause, one of the first things is you will have a drop in progesterone. Now, some women that have bad estrogen dominance start to experience this low progesterone even prior to perimenopause. So sidebar here, you can start entering perimenopause as young as mid-30s, okay? So why is this happening? Why are we having this decline in progesterone? So first off, estrogen and progesterone are always counterbalancing each other. So if progesterone starts to decline, estrogen will try to compensate by your body will start increasing and building more. So we have this decline in progesterone for a number of reasons. One is stress. 2 weeks out of every month, I was a complete mess. Between the mood swings, the brain fog, pain, fatigue, I could barely function. I just wish I knew then what I know now, that it's my hormones and that I can do something about it without resorting to birth control or other medications. See, much like yourself, I went to the doctor to get my hormones tested, and they did test them, but then they told me everything was fine. When I took that same blood work to my naturopath, she told me, "Everything is not fine, Holly. You have estrogen dominance," which meant my estrogen was high relative to my progesterone, which was basically non-existent. And that was why I was having this extreme PMS. If you've been told the same thing, that your hormones are normal and that you're fine, or that it's all in your head, it's time for you to rise up and take control of your hormones and your life back. Because too many women have been put on birth control to manage these symptoms without understanding why they have these symptoms and these imbalances in the first place. You deserve to know the truth about your body, and that simple diet and lifestyle changes can make a massive difference. You deserve answers. You deserve to get your life, your happiness, and your confidence back. So if you're ready to take control of your hormonal health and fit in your favorite pants again, join me inside the Reset Solution. I'm now accepting founding members. As a founding member, you get to shape the community and make it your own. You get to connect with other women on the same healing journey. And you also get locked in at the lowest price the program will ever be offered for, because the price is going up on December 1st. Okay, so now let's talk about, you know, where our hormones are made and this kind of shift that happens as we enter perimenopause and then again in menopause. When we are younger, so in our menstruating years, most of our hormones, our estrogen and progesterone, are made in our ovaries. But as we get older, and especially as we transition into menopause, the majority of our hormones are made in our adrenal glands. So here's a big problem, guys, because most of us are burnt out. Most of us have some degree of what's called adrenal fatigue. That means when we're stressed out, our adrenals are working overtime, and chronic stress affects our adrenals in such that they get depleted and they can't function the way they need to anymore. So if your adrenals are burnt out, you're burnt out, and you're tired, and you're getting sick all the time, and you're gaining weight, and your mood is affected. Those are all burnout symptoms, but they're also symptoms of hormone imbalance because they go hand in hand. So now in menopause, you're relying on your adrenals to produce hormones, but your adrenals are not functioning properly. So even more of a drop in the hormones. So as we transition, we see women having this estrogen dominance in our younger years and into perimenopause, where estrogen is relatively high and progesterone is low. And then we transition into menopause and estrogen just tanks. So estrogen goes extremely low, as well as progesterone and testosterone. And we're going to talk about how that contributes to weight gain. Talking to a lot of you, both in my group, the Hormone Happiness Collective, and on Instagram, it seems like those are the main concerns. So we're going to focus on that. Here's the thing with perimenopause. It's kind of the perfect storm, especially if you have been on birth control and come off, or if you have had children, or if you are under a ton of stress, which it sounds like almost everyone is right now. So that's like the COVID level stress. But on top of that, this phase of life, this perimenopause phase, tends to be when there's a lot of upheaval and change in general. So there's maybe divorce or relationship changes. You've got aging parents that you're caring for. You've got kids that are in school and still need you, but don't need you. Maybe changes in your career, and that stress itself is going to promote weight gain and brain fog. And we'll dive into the how that works. But here's how it's the perfect storm. We've got the stress. We've got most of us living a fairly sedentary lifestyle, especially for those of you who are closer to menopause. You do need less calories, but you're probably eating about the same. Your hormones are changing. They're all over the place. And we'll dive into exactly what's going on there. And on top of that, you probably have some level of gut issues, which is dysbiosis. We've talked about this a lot on the podcast, specifically the last episode that we did. So if you want to know more about that and don't know much about the microbiome and dysbiosis, I'll briefly just say your gut microbiome is key for all aspects of your health. And it's really easy to develop an imbalance in your gut microbes. So things like eating a diet that's high in processed food and carbs and sugar and low in fiber, especially if you're someone who has developed constipation. And we're going to touch on constipation today, actually, Dawn, as part of this perfect storm of weight gain, is dieting. So I know a lot of you have been on at least one diet, probably multiple diets, where you have, you know, lost a bunch of weight and then probably gained some back, and then did another diet and lost weight and then gained some back. So here's the thing with that. First of all, that's really hard on your body as a whole. But second of all, oftentimes when we're dieting, your body is in this starvation mode where it starts eating not only your fat, but eating your muscle for energy. So by the time you're done this diet, your body has eaten some of your muscle mass. So now you have less muscle mass, but we need muscle mass to keep our metabolism high, especially as we age and get into perimenopause and menopause. So we're going to talk more about that today, but know that that dieting has set you up to gain weight. But it's not all hope is not lost. We can do a lot about that. Much like yourself, I've been there. I have done keto diets in an attempt to heal my gut. I have done clean eating, and I have tried to have like a whole month without sugar. And what happened? I ended up binging because it's not sustainable, right? If you've been there as well, you know that A, it's not sustainable, and B, you just want to enjoy food again, but also still hit your health goals. The good news is there is a way to do that without crazy diets of counting calories or carbs or points or doing intense boot camp workouts where you like can't even move for a week afterwards. So inside the Reset Solution, you get empowered with the knowledge about how your body really works, about how your metabolism works and how it's connected to your hormones, your gut health, your mental health, and everything, so that you can build simple, sustainable habits that move the needle on your health and get you unstuck, so you can get to your goals and feel yourself again without diets, restriction, or punishing your body with intense exercise. Why do we have this estrogen dominance? There's a lot of factors that contribute to it. One is stress. So our stress hormones and sex hormones are made from the same building blocks, but our stress hormones always take priority because they're a survival mechanism. So if our body is, if we're constantly stressed, our body's gonna say, okay, priority is stress hormones. I'm not gonna bother working on sex hormones because that's taking a back seat right now. We have to make stress hormones. The other factor is toxins in our environment, things called xenoestrogens. They are everywhere. We're talking chemicals in our bath and body products like lotions and shampoo and conditioner and creams. We're talking stuff in makeup, especially things like Glade plug-ins, air fresheners, cleaning products, laundry detergent, basically anything that has synthetic chemicals in it is going to be impacting your body, whether or not you take it in food form or not. Even the fact of touching something, putting it on your skin, breathing it in, those chemicals are going into your body and acting like estrogens. Okay, the next thing is alcohol. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to tell you guys to stop drinking alcohol. I mean, I have drinks here and there myself too. But you have to understand that when you drink alcohol, that actually increases estrogen in the body and promotes more of this estrogen dominance. And part of the reason is that it impacts your liver, which we're going to talk on in a minute. So two of the main ways that we can support our hormones being balanced is by supporting our liver function and by balancing our gut health. So we develop this estrogen dominance, and that's why when we have this imbalance, it makes the transition that much harder, because you're going from, you know, high estrogen potentially to menopause where you have very low estrogen. So that's quite a drop. And there's a few things I want to touch on here. Number one is birth control. So women that have been on birth control are more likely to have more severe estrogen dominance. And hysterectomies. So unfortunately, hysterectomies are quite common. If it's a full hysterectomy, no matter what age you are, you're thrown into menopause literally overnight. If it's a partial hysterectomy, you will transition to menopause in about 5 years or so, regardless of your age. You could get that at age 40 and be in menopause by age 45, which is young, but that's what happens with hysterectomies. So if that is presented to you as an option by your doctor, politely say no thank you and start working with a practitioner such as myself or a naturopath, because there's so much more that can be done, whether it's heavy bleeding or cramping or pain. There's so much more that can be done. And often it's literally a matter of you having estrogen dominance and us needing to support your liver, your gut, and potentially even do a bioidentical prescription from a naturopath for a progesterone cream. And I won't get into that whole story, but I'll just say very briefly that that changed my life, because I had estrogen dominance. My progesterone was very low. I started on the progesterone cream while I was working on healing the underlying factors, and it completely changed my life. But birth control, so many of us have been on birth control, whether it's for only a couple years or maybe a decade or more. Your body is constantly bombarded with these fake estrogens, and it literally shuts down your body's production of estrogen and the communication between your brain and your pituitary gland and your ovaries. So there's something called post-pill syndrome. If you have recently transitioned off birth control and you're really struggling with your hormones, your mental health, you're gaining weight, I highly recommend that you look into this post-pill syndrome. Dr. Aviva Ram talks a lot about it, and I'm planning to have a special guest on the podcast very soon to talk about it. But I just want to empower you to let you know that this is quite a common thing for women that have come off birth control, and you're not alone. So the two organs that are mainly responsible for balancing our hormones and making sure everything's working properly is our liver and our gut. They work together. So some of you may know the role of your liver in building and balancing hormones, and so you may take some supplements, or you know, maybe you're cutting back on alcohol, and that's awesome. But if your gut is not well, if your gut microbiome is imbalanced, even if you're working on your liver, things are still going to be a mess hormone-wise. So let's take a look at why that is. So what happens with our liver? Our liver is used to both build and balance hormones. And when it senses like, hey, I've got too much estrogen here, it packages it up and sends it to the gut. So you're basically going to poop it out. But here's the catch. If it gets to your gut and you have the wrong bacteria there, and you have too much inflammatory bacteria, they produce a certain enzyme that actually promotes that estrogen to get reabsorbed and just stay in your body instead of being pooped out. So now you can see that estrogen is constantly getting recycled, and then the levels are going to get higher and higher, even though your liver is trying its best to detoxify it. So what can we do to support optimal liver and gut function so that we can detox these excess estrogens, including things like estrogenic toxins in our environment? So for the liver, obviously cutting down on alcohol is always a good thing. Not again, like I'm not saying to not drink at all, but know that binge drinking or having, you know, several drinks here and there is going to affect your liver function. Everything that's toxic that comes into your body has to be processed by your liver. That includes alcohol, that includes medications, that includes toxins like pesticides or chemicals in your environment. It all has to be processed. So if your liver is busy detoxing all of that crap, it can't do its job of building and balancing hormones. And it also does other stuff, including producing bile, which is needed for digestion, especially fat digestion. So I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent, because we're not focusing too much on digestion in this episode, but I want you to know that you need healthy fats because your body uses those to build your sex hormones. But if you don't have optimal digestion, so if you have low stomach acid, if you have a liver that's not functioning properly, or a gallbladder that's not functioning properly, you're not going to be able to properly digest and absorb those fats. And the other factor there that's really common that I'm going to touch on more in a separate episode, it's something called SIBO. So SIBO stands for small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And that is caused by bacteria, obviously. But what happens is when we have low stomach acid combined with a poor diet, combined with use of antacids and antibiotics, that is the perfect breeding ground for bacteria to grow out of your control in your small intestine. And we're really not supposed to have that much bacteria in your small intestine. It's mostly supposed to be in your large intestine, because we need a fairly sterile environment in your small intestine in order to properly digest and absorb your food. So a lot of people that have this SIBO and or problems with stomach acid and bile production, they're going to get diarrhea, especially when they eat high fatty foods, because they either the bacteria in there is not allowing them to absorb it, or they don't have the chemical ability to digest and absorb it. The most common question I get about my program and working with me in general is, do I have to cut out carbs and sugar? Which makes me laugh because I feel you. I am a self-professed chocoholic. I love carbs too, so I can't be a hypocrite. The good news is, in the program, you can still eat carbs. You can still have your treats. The program is designed for you to learn how to make a healthy, balanced meal, but also allow yourself indulgences. We're actually going to be working on your mindset so that you can eat a treat without beating yourself up. You're also going to understand that one treat is not going to make you gain 5 pounds, because that's not how your metabolism works. You're going to learn to see food as just food. It's not good or bad. We have to deprogram that diet industry thinking from your brain, because when we see certain foods as bad and then you eat it, then you see yourself as bad for eating it, and you go into a downward spiral of self-hatred. And then when you feel crappy by beating yourself up, what do? To feel better? You eat more. So what's up with the mood swings? Why are we so hormonal and we go from like crazy rage where you want to like rip your partner's head off to bawling uncontrollably? I get it. I've been there. And while I'm not quite in perimenopause myself, I've dealt with extreme PMS for many, many years. So let's look at why that's happening. First off, in perimenopause, what's happening is your hormones are fluctuating wildly. They can swing from super high to super low, and these fluctuations are what cause some of the mood swings. But it's not just strictly the hormone changes. Perimenopause is a very intense phase of life for many women. There's a lot that's happening. There's a lot of demands that are being placed on you, where you have to fill a lot of roles, right? Like you're a mother, you're a friend, you're a spouse, you're a daughter. Like you have to start caring for your aging parents. You know, there's a lot that's going on. And oftentimes, you know, the women that I've worked with and met, like they're just feeling completely overwhelmed. They have zero time for themselves. They're feeling resentful of all the responsibilities. And how could that not affect your moods, right? Like you deserve to have time for yourself. You need that time to feel emotionally and mentally well. So we really need to start making boundaries and being strong about putting our foot down and saying, you know what? The reason I am acting this way is because I haven't had time for myself in a really long time. And going forward, you know, Tuesday nights are going to be my night to do my thing. We really need to communicate and set strong boundaries with our loved ones so that we can take care of our mental health. We can't just blame it on our fluctuating hormones. Obviously, that's part of the picture, but a lot of it also has to do with this demand that's being placed on us that's totally unreasonable, and we deserve to have time for ourselves. Now, there's two other factors that are also affecting our mood swings, and we're also going to look at how all of these factors directly impact metabolism as well. So lack of sleep, no matter what you do, if you don't get enough sleep, you are going to be a grumpy woman, okay? And probably prone to crying at the drop of a hat, because that's been me in the past. And then the final thing, which we're really going to dive deep into in this episode, because it directly impacts your metabolism, is imbalanced blood sugar and insulin resistance. This is extremely common, especially as we start to enter perimenopause and menopause, because of the hormonal changes. Because estrogen directly impacts insulin sensitivity. So before I dive into that, I'm going to talk briefly about how we have wacky blood sugar. First of all, lady, I know you're busy, but you cannot be skipping meals. We all know what it's like to get to that point where we're hangry, right? You are hangry because your blood sugar has crashed and your body's like, I need energy now. So you reach for the most convenient and quickest thing, which is always going to be carbs in our society because carbs are everywhere, they're convenient, and they're everywhere. So how do we prevent that? We have to eat to balance our blood sugar. We have to be eating regularly, so no skipping meals, and we have to be having protein snacks. So for example, you cannot have a lunch of a coffee and a bagel, okay? Your blood sugar is going to spike because that is pure carbs, and then it's going to crash. Okay, so then that's going to make you hangry, you're going to have brain fog, you're going to be tired. It's this vicious cycle, and this constant ups and downs in our blood sugar is what perpetuates weight gain. So it affects our mood, but it also directly impacts weight, especially it's going to make you gain weight in your midsection. So one of the first things I want to talk about is insulin resistance. You may have heard of this term. Basically, it all has to do with blood sugar. So let's go back and do a bit of basics on blood sugar. Whenever you eat something, no matter what it is, it ends up getting broken down into sugar or glucose in your bloodstream. And that's what your body uses to make energy. But in order to use that sugar for energy, we need insulin. So you eat a meal, your pancreas releases insulin, and that acts as the key that lets the sugar into your cells to be used to make energy. So the problem develops when we have this perfect storm of hormonal changes. So estrogen dropping, we need estrogen for insulin sensitivity. And stress, so stress promotes high blood sugar and insulin release. And low muscle mass from the diets that we talked about. That is a perfect storm, especially combined with poor diet and a sedentary lifestyle like most of us have. That's going to set you up for insulin resistance. So what that means is when your body, say for example, like you're eating this diet that's high in sugar and your insulin is always trying to, you know, be the key that opens the door for the sugar to get into your cell. But think about it this way. It's like the people are inside your cell and insulin's knocking on the door like, hello, can I come in? It's like a really annoying salesperson that comes to your door. So after a while, if that person keeps like knocking and coming every day and annoying the crap out of you, you're going to stop answering the door. So that's basically what happens with insulin resistance is your cells become unresponsive. They're constantly being bombarded with this insulin that's being released due to high stress, but also due to your diet, right? So every time you eat something, especially high in carbs, you're releasing that insulin and you're flooding the system. And your cells are like, okay, I can't take this anymore. You're constantly trying to get in and I've had enough. I don't need any more. And so they stop becoming sensitive to the insulin. It doesn't work anymore. That is not a good state to be in because that means sugar can't get into your cells. So now you're not being able to use that for energy. You're going to be extremely tired and brain foggy. You're going to start gaining weight because that sugar is floating around in your bloodstream, as is the insulin. And insulin is actually anabolic. That means it promotes, it builds things up, right? So it's going to promote weight gain and fat storage, storing this extra sugar that's floating around in your bloodstream as fat because it can't get into the cell to be used as energy. Women have testosterone in certain levels. We need testosterone, but as we age and get closer to menopause, testosterone declines. Why is that a problem? We need testosterone to build muscle mass. And as I was saying a few minutes ago, we need that muscle mass to keep our metabolism high. Let's talk about testing. So how do you know for sure if you are in perimenopause? The most common test is to test FSH and LH. So FSH especially, that is called follicle stimulating hormone. And if that's very high, that will indicate that your ovaries are aging and you're starting to enter that perimenopause phase. But unfortunately, it's not an exact science. So the main test that I highly recommend people get if they really want to know what's going on with their hormones and what to do about it, it's called the Dutch test. So I work with naturopath Dr. Kristen Spark, and she's able to order this test. It's a urine test, and it tells us not just what your levels of estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone are, but that also tells us all of the whole picture, the whole, you know, how these hormones are metabolized and broken down and made into other hormones. And it's a really, really complex test, but it tells her exactly where in that whole cycle that things are going wrong. And that's what she needs to know in order to build a specific supplement and dietary protocol to help people balance their hormones. So that's where I work with Kristen, where she would do the testing because I'm not able to order that myself. And then we work together, you know, and she'll say, I want this person to do lower carb, higher protein, and then she'll send them to me and we'll work on a dietary plan. Now, that being said, I also get that these tests are actually quite expensive. They range anywhere from about $300 up to $450 or $500. So if you don't have coverage, it's probably not accessible for you, especially if you are struggling financially due to the COVID situation. So that's why I developed my program. So it's the Reset Solution. And while this program is not an individual healing protocol like you would get from working one-on-one with someone, it's giving you all the tools and the healthy habits that you need to start balancing your hormones. It's also empowering you with the knowledge to understand why you have these hormone imbalances and which healthy habits are going to be effective at moving the needle on your goals, whether that's weight loss or, you know, dealing with your mood swings so you can be more patient with your loved ones. So that's what the program's all about. So if you're interested in checking it out and really taking control of your hormones, then check out my website, mindfulvitality.ca. And the Reset Solution is in the menu there. I've also included a link in the show notes. Really exciting situation and offer I have right now. For those of you who join my Hormone Happiness Collective Facebook community, I am offering until next Friday, October 16th, I'm offering my program for only $49.99. I am never again going to offer it for that price because I put a lot of work into it and the regular price is $79 and it's going up higher price even in December and January. So you want to get in at that founding member rate while you can. So if you want to take advantage of that offer, join me in my group. There's a link in the show notes and you can sign up from there. A really big factor that many women don't know is going on is something called hypothyroidism. So your thyroid is often overlooked when it comes to metabolism, but it is the master of metabolism. And if your thyroid's out of whack, no matter what you do, you can be like eating super clean, you can be working out, you will not be able to lose weight. And if you do lose some, you're gonna hit a plateau. So hypothyroidism is really on the rise and it's almost becoming like epidemic in women. And that's for a number of reasons. So one of the major ones is burnout. And if you want to learn more about this, Dr. Aviva Ram talks a lot about the adrenal thyroid connection. When we're constantly stressed and we get to the point where we're completely burnt out, that takes a major toll on your thyroid. And that often ends up showing up as autoimmune hypothyroidism, which the most common one is Hashimoto's. So the problem here is that if you want to get your thyroid checked, if you're struggling with your weight and you're thinking it could be thyroid, and you go to your doctor, oftentimes the only thing they will check will be your TSH levels, their thyroid stimulating hormone. And while that is a good measure to check, it doesn't give us everything we need to know. We also need to know T3, T4, reverse T3. We need to know about antibodies. So when it comes to figuring out whether, you know, you have Hashimoto's, an autoimmune thyroid issue, or some other kind of thyroid issue, the only way to know is by testing for antibodies. But most doctors refuse to do that. Why? Because their treatment will be the same regardless of the diagnosis. They will give you something called Synthroid, a medication to bump up your thyroid function. But they don't address the root cause, because the root cause with autoimmune thyroid conditions is inflammation. Now, that inflammation can be coming from diet, can be coming from gut issues, can be coming from stress. There's so many areas it can come from. The other thing you need to know here is that if you have had children, you are at much higher risk of developing a thyroid condition. And then the final factor is birth control. Birth control directly impacts your thyroid function. And many women that have been on it or are on it end up developing hypothyroidism. So I'm not saying that you should jump off your birth control or like never use it, but that's definitely something to consider if you're struggling with your weight. I highly recommend working with a practitioner that can discuss your birth control options with you and help you to transition off of birth control if that's what you decide. Here's the thing about thyroid issues. The medical community makes it seem like they're very rare, but there's a lot of people out there that have what's called subclinical hypothyroidism, which means a doctor may not diagnose you as being fully hypothyroid, but your thyroid is not functioning optimally. And as long as you fall within that reference range on a test, they're going to tell you you're fine, even if you have tons of other hypothyroid symptoms and you're really struggling to lose weight and you're trying everything that you can and you just feel stuck. This is where a functional practitioner would take a look at that and say, if you're right on the cusp of that reference range, odds are you do have subclinical hypothyroidism. It's just not enough for them to diagnose you. So that's where we look at that and say, okay, what can we do here to heal your thyroid to boost your metabolism? Now you have to understand that the main type of thyroid issues, especially in women, is autoimmune hypothyroidism, that Hashimoto's that I talked about. So here's the thing with that. Doctors would often prescribe Synthroid for that. So it's the only thyroid medication that they use. And they use Synthroid regardless of what kind of thyroid issue you have, whether it's autoimmune or not. But the problem is Synthroid only bumps up your thyroid hormones. It's not getting to the root cause. Why are you having this thyroid problem in the first place? It's often due to, like we talked about, estrogen dominance, stress, and this autoimmunity factor. But where is that coming from? So there's two other huge factors at play here. One of them is your gut. So you may have heard of leaky gut. What happens when you have this gut dysbiosis is that your gut becomes so inflamed and the bacteria are creating all this inflammation, you end up developing these very microscopic, tiny holes in your gut lining. And food particles and other things that you take in leak into your bloodstream. It's not supposed to be there. So your immune system's like, whoa, wait, what's going on here? Flags it and mounts an immune response. So first off, that's how we develop food sensitivities. But secondly, that immune response, especially if you have leaky gut and it's a constant inflammatory reaction all the time, that's a high level of immune function all the time, right? Eventually, when your immune system's constantly working overtime like that, your body starts attacking its own cells. And that's how you develop an autoimmune condition. So again, whatever happens in the gut doesn't stay in the gut. That affects your whole body. So this autoimmune condition, this inflammation that's going throughout your bloodstream is going to affect your other organs, including your thyroid. The same thing goes with viral infections. If you've ever had a bad viral infection, such as mono or what's called Epstein-Barr, the same thing can happen. When you get a virus, your body responds by kicking your immune system into high gear and releasing things called antibodies and cytokines. It's kind of like this cytokine storm is what they call it. And that's part of what causes such a horrible reaction with COVID-19 is this cytokine storm. Your body is trying so hard to fight off this virus that it creates a ton of inflammation. And oftentimes, even after the virus is dealt with, your body doesn't realize that, and it starts mistaking your own tissues, such as your thyroid, for the virus, and it keeps attacking it. And so that's going to contribute to autoimmune hypothyroid conditions as well. So how do we deal with all this autoimmune kind of situation? This is why we have to get to the root cause. There's always going to be this root cause. Like, where is the inflammation coming from? Is it imbalanced blood sugar? Is it your gut? Is it estrogen dominance? Or maybe it's all of the above. We have to treat this inflammation in order to get your thyroid, your weight, and your hormones under control. If you're like me, you have struggled with chronic fatigue for so long, you can't even remember the last time you felt rested. And maybe coffee used to work, but it's just not working anymore. But you have so much to do and you're just so tired, you can barely make it through the day, let alone have energy or time to do the things you love. Here's the thing, when coffee isn't working anymore, there's definitely a root cause. There's a reason that you're so tired and you deserve to know what that reason is. Well, there's actually a number of reasons. And I want you to get empowered with this knowledge so that you can take your health in your own hands and finally get your energy and your life back. If you're ready to discover the truth about your body and why you have this chronic fatigue and how to finally break free and have energy again, then you should join me inside the Reset Solution, my new 30-day program that empowers you with the knowledge and the habits that you need to build a life of health, happiness, energy, and total vitality that allows you to feel yourself again and live your best life. This program is not a diet or a detox or a quick fix. It's all about building sustainable, healthy habits. And that means enjoying your favorite foods in moderation, gentle movement that makes your body feel good, and building healthy habits that allow you to get better quality sleep and boost your mental health. If that sounds like something that you're ready for in your life, then sign up by heading to the link in the show notes. Now, we're going to talk about diet here and how your diet helps with balancing your blood sugar. But what you have to know is you can do everything right with your diet, but if you're not doing resistance weight training exercise, you're not going to be able to reverse insulin resistance. You have to be doing weight training exercise. And on top of that, that in itself is going to sensitize your muscle cells to insulin again. So that's the first step in becoming sensitive to insulin and actually using that sugar for fuel rather than storing it as fat and reducing your risk of diabetes. But also in the process, that is boosting your metabolism. Okay, so that is super, super important. If you're struggling with exercise and you know don't know where to start when it comes to resistance exercise, don't be tempted to join a really intense program like HIIT or CrossFit or one of those boot camps. Because if you go from 0 to 100 like that, you're either gonna injure yourself or you're gonna be in so much pain that you're not gonna wanna work out ever again. So instead, what you can do is join my group, the Hormone Happiness Collective. My friend Andrea is a personal trainer, and she works with women, specifically moms, on developing core strength and really just starting with the basics using body weight exercises. So very simple, no fancy equipment needed. You go at your own pace and you take it slow. That's the most important thing. Now, the other thing we're going to talk about here is eating to balance your blood sugar. So we know that we have to have protein. A lot of us know the importance of protein, but why is it so important? If you were just to eat something like a piece of bread or a bagel by itself, your blood sugar will spike and then crash shortly after because it gets broken down and digested into sugar very quickly, right? Whereas if you have that with some eggs or some meat or some tofu, that is digested much more slowly. Having the protein there slows down digestion and absorption into your bloodstream, and that keeps your blood sugar nice and steady, and that's what we want. The other two things that do that are fiber and fat. So we always want to have some fiber and fat with our meals as well. So fiber doesn't actually get digested, but it slows the absorption of the other nutrients that are in there with it, so the carbs and the protein and everything. And fat is much like protein, is that it gets digested slowly. And fat is really great for shutting off our hunger hormone, ghrelin. This is why the low-fat diets of the 80s did not work. We need that healthy fat, especially as we're transitioning into perimenopause and menopause. We tend to get more dry skin, and vaginal dryness is a factor as well. So we need that healthy fat. So we need to be eating regularly. That means no skipping meals. I know we are busy people, but you cannot be skipping meals if you're trying to balance your blood sugar and to lose some weight. So that means always being prepared. You don't have to have an elaborate meal. If you're a really busy person or you don't have time for a full lunch, having some protein bar, a piece of a protein bar, a boiled egg, some nuts and seeds, a Greek yogurt, or if you're dairy-free, you can do vegan yogurt with protein powder stirred in and some nuts and seeds. Any kind of protein snack is good enough to balance your blood sugar and help you with that insulin resistance so you can lose some weight. So we need to optimize your liver function. We do that by obviously getting rid of as many toxins as possible. So cutting down on alcohol, switching to green beauty and bath and home products as much as possible. And then supporting the liver with things like brassica vegetables. So all of the veggies in the broccoli, cauliflower, kale, Brussels sprouts kind of family, the ones that make most people gassy. Those are the ones that help, they actually upregulate some of your liver enzymes and help to detoxify your liver and support estrogen detoxification. We also can drink lemon water. Things like turmeric are also really good, and curries. Sleep issues are really common in perimenopause, and there's a number of reasons for that, and one of which is the stress we talked about earlier. So when you're chronically stressed, that's going to impact your cortisol circadian rhythm. Cortisol, we need in certain amounts. It's not all bad. In a healthy, balanced person, cortisol peaks in the morning and it's stimulating, so it helps you to wake up, and then declines throughout the day, so it's lowest in the evening. But when you're chronically stressed, that rhythm flips. So you may end up getting a second wind in the evening and then lay wide awake and not able to fall asleep. The other thing that might happen is you might wake up at 3 a.m. and you can't get back to sleep. So that's extremely common in perimenopausal women. And that's due to spikes and erratic changes in both cortisol levels as well as sex hormone levels. So what we need to do is we really need to optimize sleep, because if we don't sleep, that's going to impact our weight. No matter what we do, we're going to be fighting an uphill battle if we're not sleeping. And on top of that, we know when we don't sleep, we're going to have major cravings for carbs, right? And it's going to affect our mood as well. And we can talk a bit about mood swings shortly as well, because obviously that's part of the whole transition, which is lovely. But yeah, sleep is super, super important. So if you're struggling, do reach out. I'm happy to help. The number one thing I always ask people to do is try a sleepy time tea. Now, I'm not talking about whatever that sleepy time one is from Celestial Seasonings, I think is the brand, or just everyday chamomile. Those are fine, but they're not very strong. If you need something stronger, I highly recommend the brand Traditional Medicinals. They do a number of sleepy teas. My personal favorite is Lemon Balm. It's calming. It's also mood balancing. It's good for the gut, and it's mild. If you need something a little stronger, they also make one called Nighty Night. And they have two versions, one of which has valerian, which is probably one of the strongest sedative herbs you can get. And one of which is more like hops and passion flower. So either of those are also really great options. But you can take all of the calming herbs and teas and stuff you want, but if you don't have a good bedtime routine, it's going to be hard to fall asleep. So routines are key. Our body loves routines. And you'll notice when you start developing them that your body just knows, right? Like personally, I wake up at 6:30 a.m. for work, and I go to bed around 10:30 every night. So my body automatically, like lately, just wakes up. Even on the weekend, I'm waking up at that time, right? Because it's so used to that pattern. Same thing goes for bedtime. If you have the same bedtime every night and you have the same routine, that signals to your body that, hey, it's time to wind down and relax. So for me, that looks like an hour or maybe an hour and a half or so before bed. All screens are off. I make myself a lemon balm tea and I go upstairs and I read. And sometimes I'll do an Epsom salt bath if I'm sore, or I'll do some stretching, or if I'm really feeling anxious or wound up, I'll do a guided meditation. Now, these aren't necessary really, but the main thing that's super necessary is no screens, at least an hour and a half to 2 hours before bed. The other thing that's really important is setting boundaries. So setting boundaries on what you will discuss, especially with the whole COVID situation these days, I had to set strict boundaries with my partner because if we talk about that stuff in the evening, that makes me anxious and upset and worried and I'm not able to sleep. So you have to be able to communicate those boundaries to people. And then the final thing is, this is all considered sleep hygiene. And part of sleep hygiene is setting up your environment to be conducive to sleep. So that means having a dark and cool room. So no lights from your clock, no phones, no sounds, and keeping it as a calming place for calming activities only. My number one thing for women is always self-care. And I know that sounds a little woo-woo and out there, but hear me out. When you make time for self-care and you make time to listen to your body and to rest, you are reducing inflammation, you're shutting down the stress hormones, and you're allowing your body to balance itself out. Remember, I mentioned earlier that when you're stressed, your body releases sugar. It increases your blood sugar and your insulin in an effort to have the energy to run from danger. But in our modern society, that danger is often not an actual danger that you have to run from, right? So that's what promotes weight gain. So I know it sounds kind of woo-woo and talking about, oh, just do some self-care, you'll be fine. But it actually has a physiological effect on your stress hormones, which in turn affects your weight and your sex hormones. So that's number one, listening to your body, resting. Don't get burnt out. If you do get burnt out, start the healing process by tuning in and resting. Secondly, if you need to get tested for sure. You need to get your sex hormones and your thyroid tested, especially if you have been trying a number of different ways to lose weight and it's just not going anywhere. And especially if your doctor's also told you that you have fatty liver or insulin resistance or prediabetes. You have to get your weight under control if you have those conditions. And so you need to get your sex hormones and your thyroid tested. So if your doctor refuses to do that, I highly recommend working with a naturopath to get that tested. And the other thing here is, even if your doctor will do that for you, what your doctor considers normal is not what a functional practitioner considers normal. So myself and Dr. Spark as a naturopath, she and I would look at blood values and a doctor would say it's normal because it's within that range. But if it's not optimal and you're having symptoms, we would treat you. Okay, you don't need to have symptoms. That means that something is wrong. Okay, guys, here's the thing. When it comes to dealing with your metabolism and getting to these root causes, you never want to self-prescribe a supplement or a specific diet without first getting tested. We need to know exactly what is going on, whether it's your liver, your gut, your thyroid, whether it's stress, whether it's your sex hormones, or maybe it's all of the above. But the only way to know is to test. We have to get tested. Now, why is this such a big deal? For instance, if you were just to assume based on your symptoms that you had estrogen dominance, and then you started Googling and you found some supplements that are, you know, marketed to support your body in balancing out your hormones to reverse estrogen dominance, but maybe you don't actually have it, you could end up making your hormone imbalance worse. So again, the only way to know is to test. So I recommend working with a functional medicine practitioner, such as a naturopath or myself, to get tested and figure out exactly what's going on. Now, hear me out for a second. I know a lot of these tests are quite expensive, but here's the thing. I did what you probably did when I was, before I got into this field and I was searching for answers. I probably spent thousands of dollars on supplements and different, you know, dietary foods and everything. And I just never made any progress. I still felt stuck. It wasn't until I started working with a naturopath and got testing that I knew exactly what was wrong with my gut and my hormones. And only then did I make progress. So I wasted so much time and money on supplements and treatments that just didn't work. So in the end, I ended up spending more than I ever had to because I wasn't willing to invest. But that being said, I totally get that times are tough for a lot of people right now, and you may not have that extra money to invest in things like testing, especially if you don't have insurance coverage. So that's why I put together my Reset Solution program. It's a really great starting point for those of you who are not able to start off with the testing and really getting to the root cause of these things. And instead, you're ready to build these healthy habits that are going to support your health no matter what is going on with your hormones. So if you want to learn more about the Reset Solution, or maybe you just want to check it out and see what it's all about, you can head to my website, mindfulvitality.ca, and click on the Reset Solution. So it tells you all the aspects of the program. We've got weekly meal plans that are gut-friendly and allergen-friendly, daily learning lessons, accountability inside the Hormone Happiness Collective, and weekly workouts. What about supplements? Should you take supplements to heal your gut or support your liver and balance your hormones? I know there's a ton of supplements out there, and they're probably popping up on your Instagram and your Facebook, especially if you've been Googling stuff about hormone balancing or weight loss. And they're targeting people like you that are just desperate and trying to find answers because you feel stuck. Honestly, guys, don't waste your money. It's always best to understand first what's going on with your body and understand these root causes before investing money in treatments that may or may not work. On top of that, they could actually make your symptoms worse, especially if you're taking any medications. Be very, very careful, especially if the supplements you're looking at have herbs in them, because they can have serious interactions with medication. So what I do when I work with a client is I go through their full medical history, including their current health problems. I also take a look at their blood work as well as any medications they may be on. And I come up with a plan to heal the root causes of their sluggish metabolism, often after we get some testing done. And that plan will include a specific supplement protocol for them, because supplements are not a one-size-fits-all situation. I have to prescribe supplements specific to their condition, especially if they're on medications. And then once people are feeling a bit better, we start to make some gradual dietary changes. So this is why when I work with people, my number one first thing is always working on mental health. I know a lot of you are struggling right now, and this is why I don't want you to be worried about coming to see me. I'm not going to tell you to stop eating carbs or sugar. I'm not going to tell you to give up coffee. I totally get that we need these things, okay? Especially in stressful times. So that's why it's always the first thing I do is to support someone in their mental health, usually with some supplements, specific supplements to boost their mood and energy, help them sleep better. And then when they're feeling better, we can start making those gradual changes to their diet, adding in exercise, only when they feel ready to do so. Okay, so in terms of supplements, there's actually two supplements that I would recommend to almost everyone that are fairly safe and that pretty much anyone can take. However, I have to put the disclaimer that you do need to check with your healthcare provider before taking any kind of supplement. Number one would be a fiber supplement, especially if you're someone that's having a hard time making dietary changes that allow you to get enough fiber, and especially if you've been diagnosed with prediabetes or you're really struggling to manage your weight, having a fiber supplement is a really great way to get there because, number one, it keeps you regular, which we know if you're constipated, that's going to cause further gut issues, further estrogen dominance, and just keep your metabolism sluggish. Number two, it also boosts your metabolism by balancing your blood sugar. You're going to have less cravings, You're going to have less mood swings. You're going to have more energy. If you're finding it hard to eat throughout the day and eat protein regularly, I mean, obviously that's the goal, right? But if you're struggling, having something like a fiber supplement can really help keep your blood sugar, your energy, and your metabolism stable so you can hit your goals more easily. If you want to know which specific fiber supplements I would recommend, because they're definitely not all the same, and there's a huge difference between soluble fiber and insoluble fiber, give me a shout through Instagram or DM or email, and I'm happy to talk fiber with you. The second supplement that I would recommend to almost everyone is a probiotic. But that being said, if you're someone that's really struggling with your gut, you may need to do a gut reset first and kill off the inflammatory bacteria before putting the good guys in. Oftentimes, if you have that gut situation, you're going to get more symptoms from adding a probiotic. So that being said, there's a lot of research, pretty recent research showing that your gut microbiome directly impacts your blood sugar, which impacts your weight, which we've talked about in the episode. So there's actually research for specific strains of probiotics, specific bacteria that can help to balance your blood sugar. The other thing they can do is reduce carb cravings, which I know sounds crazy. There's actually drugs that have been promoted by certain clinics. I used to work at one, and it's called a GLP-1 agonist. This drug, which has nasty side effects, actually shuts off your hunger hormones. But the same thing can be achieved by taking a specific probiotic. If you want to know more about which probiotics would do that for you, again, just hit me up with a DM or an email. So you can add me at Mindful Vitality on Instagram or mindfulvitalitynutrition@gmail.com. And I'm happy to talk about specific probiotics that can help with your weight. And a final note to end off the episode, I know it can seem overwhelming to learn all this info. And especially if you have multiple things going on, like say you've been told you have insulin resistance as well as hypothyroid, and you also find out you have dysbiosis. That's a lot to handle, right? And like, where do you even start? There's so many things that you should be doing and foods to cut out and things to do, but it's overwhelming. My advice to you is don't try to do everything at once. Pick one small goal per week and stick with it. So if your goal for that week is, you know, walking 4 times a week, then do that. If your goal for the next week is eating an extra serving of vegetables per day, then do that. Just do one small goal per week and then try to keep the habits that you've made in that week, right? So if you start with walking and the next week your goal is vegetables, now you're doing vegetables and walking. You're kind of building on these healthy habits, right? And that's what I do with clients. I give them small, sustainable changes because we don't want them to be temporary. We want to be building habits that last a lifetime and that not just reverse your whatever problem you have now, but help you stay healthy for life and prevent you from getting things like diabetes. So with that being said, in terms of beating the overwhelm and kind of like developing goals and just having a structure and some kind of accountability, I know it's really hard to stay on track, especially in this COVID life that we're living where every day is overwhelming and you just feel like you have a million things to do, but you're so stressed, you just can't do anything. I highly recommend you sign up for my new program, The Reset Solution. So before you tune out, bear with me 1 second. I purposely built it for women that are crazy busy and stressed. So yes, it's a 30-day program, but you have 90 days to complete it. You have the membership and you have your personal dashboard that you can log in anytime and complete it what works for you. Like, do it at your own pace. The second thing is I wanted to make it affordable because I know that a lot of people are struggling, excuse me, with finances right now. With COVID, a lot of people have been hit pretty hard. And so I wanted to make it accessible for as many people as possible because I get that you may not be able to afford to work with me one-on-one. So this program actually costs less than a single session with me. And you get access for 3 months. And it's a blend of healthy meal plans. So you get several options depending on your gut health situation. And I do have like a specific intake form that tells me which meal plan is best for you. And before you freak out about meal plans, I know when people think about nutritionists and meal plans, they think, oh, I'm never going to be able to eat carbs or sugar. That's not true at all. I actually purposely built these meal plans to include carbs. They include treats. Everything in moderation, guys. That's what it's about, because we want this to be a lifelong change. Unlike other programs, this is not some quick fix, some keto diet. This is something that is sustainable, healthy habits. So you have your meal plans. We have weekly workouts. So we're going to be building that muscle we talked about, building muscle to boost metabolism. With my friend Andrea and my friend Courtney actually is doing a few yoga classes. So that's good to help you stay present and deal with the overwhelm and the stress of COVID. And then we have some mindset work. So we're working on, you know, why do I talk to myself this way? Why do I beat myself up when I have a treat? And what are my goals? Like, what do I really want to accomplish? And just breaking it down into small, achievable goals. And the biggest thing with this program is the accountability factor. Anyone can learn what you learn in this program by Googling it or getting a meal plan from someone, but you need the accountability to stay on track with your goals and to keep moving forward. So that's where my group, the Hormone Happiness Collective, comes in. So you'll be joining us in the group, and then we have weekly accountability calls. So that's where I check in with group members, and I ask them how their goals are going. Everyone has a chance to ask questions. It's a completely judgment-free, supportive space for you to connect with other women on the same healing journey and get your questions answered and just feel like you're part of a community that gets it. And then the final piece is the lessons. So I want to empower you to really take control of your health. Because like I said, we've been kept in the dark for so long by the medical community telling us that our only options for our hormones or our gut is either drugs or surgery. That's not true at all. The purpose of this program is to empower you with the knowledge you need to understand why you're having this hormone imbalance, why you can't lose weight, why your gut is such a mess, and then build the healthy habits that get you to your goals and help you stay there. Nothing brings me more joy than empowering women with the truth about their body. I'm on a mission to change as many women's lives as possible, and I need your help. If you've enjoyed today's episode, share a screenshot and tag @mindful_vitality on Instagram, or leave a rating and review in your podcast app. When you share, you're helping other women just like you get empowered to take control of their health and their happiness. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes released bi-weekly on Mondays. Until next time, keep smiling and remember, carbs are not the enemy. Two weeks out of every month, I was a mess. Between the mood swings, brain fog, pain, and fatigue, I could barely function. I just wish I knew then what I know now, that it's a hormone imbalance and that I can do something about it without resorting to birth control. See, my doctor humored me and tested my hormones and then told me everything's fine, but I didn't feel fine. When I took that same blood work to my naturopath, I found out that indeed everything was not fine. She helped me understand that my diet, stress levels, and lifestyle were contributing to my hormone imbalance and my mental health issues. She prescribed me simple diet and lifestyle changes that allowed me to take control of my hormones and get my life back. The more I learned about hormone imbalances, the more I realized just how common it was, and that for many women, it also contributes to weight gain. It's time to rise up and take control of your health. Don't let your doctor tell you that you're fine when you don't feel fine. You deserve to know the truth about your body.
Find out what's really going on with your body and start feeling yourself again by building simple, healthy habits inside my new program, The Reset Solution. I'm still accepting founding members. I want you to get in at the ground level where the excitement is happening and grab the program for the lowest price it will ever be offered, but only until November 15th. And after that, the price will go up. I really look forward to seeing you in there. And if you're ready to join us and take control of your health and your life, head to the link in the show notes.